there's a myth that goes along with Michael Jordan that a lot of people don't want to talk about. And LeBron is on equal footing, in my mind, with the great 23.
Definitely a Browns fan till the end. It's kind of like a rite of passage when you're born in Cleveland. You just can't let that go. You all get hope for the Browns.
Hey, why do you think Arnold took Columbus to hold the Arnold? That's the second largest sporting event in the world. Me and I always kid, we were born and raised in Ohio, and this is where we raised our families. Ohio is such a hotbed in the NPC.
Now I'm back in Cincinnati, so I'm the pulse, the heartbeat for Bengals fans.
With the OSU Buckeyes right smack in the middle of Columbus, you know, during football season, it's hard not to be a fan. The whole city shuts down on Saturdays.
Samuel cuts it back. Ohio State wins!
I love boxing. I love wrestling. Putting them both together and then other martial arts, you know, the jiu-jitsu added in the kickboxing. It's just the grind. I like the grind.
The outpouring of love for Mark Coleman has been great.
Finally, Ohio is united in hockey. It's always a tough sell with the Avalanche being the farm team for the Cleveland organization.
I love listening to With an Ohio Bias podcast, and as always, go Jackets.
Blue Jackets hockey is something exciting and something that people want to get behind. I really couldn't even put into words the way people have taken to the fifth line.
The news stories of athletes committing violence against women is just too much.
If Pete Rose was a better gambler, he wouldn't have been in all this problem.
I love the name of the show, With an Ohio Bias.
Irving and Curry, one-on-one. Brings up. It's good! Kyrie Irving from downtown! And the Cavaliers by three. Love picks up Curry. Curry steps back, fakes a three, drives again, it's up a three. Rebound James with 30 seconds remaining.
What a spectacular job by Love.
Trying to stay with Curry, catches, one dribble, steps back, puts up a three, won't go. Rebound tip taken by Spades, final seconds. It's over, it's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans with D and Jake. Ladies and gentlemen, what you wanted to hear, we're giving our hot takes on Kyrie Irving wanting to be traded from the Cleveland Cavaliers. I am D, Cleveland born and raised, Buckeye born and bred.
And I'm Jake from Youngstown to CBUS. Let's talk Cavs dumpster fire.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, we're pretty much going to react. We're not going to go too long on that because I think the biggest focus, Jake, and just what the Cavs need to do if they have anything from Summer League, which is not a lot, what they can do to facilitate a trade for Kyrie Irving, some of those possibilities, which I think is really what we need to talk about. Jake, and shout out to Captain Vince McKee has a very, very provocative article, opinion piece that he put up on NEO Sports Insiders, blaming LeBron James for part of this. But your reaction, your initial reaction, we'll get into all that, but your initial reaction to the Kyrie Irving wanting a trade bombshell or sports earthquake that hit Friday afternoon?
Kind of took me a little bit of a back. You know, we heard a little bit of the trade rumors towards the end of June with the Suns, I think, popped up, and then also possibly Denver. And I kind of laughed it off, not thinking too much about it, that there's no way they're going to trade Kyrie Irving. But that was before I understood how unhappy he was with the situation, which is also surprising because, you know, going back into June, I mean, there were quotes about him wanting to win a championship and how much he respects LeBron and all this other sort of stuff. So it was confusing. It was disheartening. And, you know, I don't get it. I mean, how can you not want to be on a team with the greatest player in the NBA? I mean, I just don't have room for you at this point. But at the same time, I look at the situation and I say, you know what? Screw you. We got you under contract. You know, I mean, we don't have to move. I've seen people compare it to what the Lakers did with Kobe Bryant. You know, I just don't know what is all going on at the moment. And anytime you got to move, you know, a guy like Kyrie Irving, especially with the situation he puts you in, I just don't know if you're going to ever get equal trade value back for him.
Broke on me kind of late. Like, I didn't get it till about 30 minutes afterwards. And I'm at the point now, I guess, after the LeBron thing and so many things have happened in sports, like, I'm kind of numb. I was shocked and I really had to reread the article twice just to really look at it. But, you know, we started going back and forth texting And, of course, you know, the phone was lighting up, but a lot of people, you know, some, you know, these fans from other teams wanted to rub it in our noses, rub it in my nose. But nevertheless, my whole thing was, I talked about this on a podcast when LeBron made his announcement to come back about him and Kyrie kind of having to find a way to coexist and how Kyrie was going to be the one that was going to have to find that level. And you brought it up. He talked about it after that finals game. He talked about what it means to play with LeBron after the game four when LeBron fouled out and he had to carry the team against the Celtics in the Eastern Conference final. So Kyrie had been addressing this. Maybe he was talking about it publicly because he's trying to figure it out in his head. From the standpoint of the comments that he was making, it made you feel like he had found a way to come to peace with it, but clearly he has not. You know, we know that the David Griffin thing and the direction of the front office and the Cavs have decided, it looks like, to hire Kobe Altman and make him the GM. But that uncertainty also plays into this. When it comes to his decision-making and where he could come from with this, I'm not – like, I can understand the emotional reaction from everybody else, but to me, I actually respect Kyrie's game and like what he does, except on defense. But this is actually the anti-LeBron, anti-Durant sentiment. The guy is saying he wants to go to a team and focal point, maybe not the teams that he named in the four that he wants to go to, but with him wanting to not be LeBron James' sidekick and saying he wants to be the focal point, it's kind of what you want to hear from a superstar in this NBA climate, because you need one of these small market teams to get a Kyrie Irving and maybe build them into a competitor that could either compete in the Eastern or Western Conference.
Yeah, but I hear you, and I think you hit it on the head there. You know, I think this has some more to do about not wanting to play with LeBron James, because if it was about being the focal point, San Antonio Spurs and Kawhi Leonard wouldn't show up. The Minnesota Timberwolves and Carl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler wouldn't show up. You know, so to me, I don't see it as much as I want to lead my own team, as much as, you know, I don't want to be under the cape of LeBron James. And, you know, I mean, he would go to Minnesota and maybe not be the guy there, but he wouldn't be with someone who is the number one or two player in the entire NBA. So, in that regard, I get it, but it's just I don't understand how you wouldn't, after winning an NBA championship 2 years ago, getting back to the finals last year, and really having, you know, one more really good shot at getting this taken care of before there's all these questions next offseason. Now he's just brought up all these questions a year early. One thing that I had thought of that not a lot of people had talked about, you know, maybe this is a good sign about LeBron James. Maybe he knows something about his future and what he wants to do, and maybe LeBron James is going to stay in Cleveland, and that's what's provoking this right now. You know, why wait a year if I already know LeBron's going to be here for the next 5 years? But, you know, it's just another thing to consider, but I don't know. It's still – it just doesn't make a lot of sense with the type of team you have already and the opportunity to go win another NBA title.
Well, I mean, the guy wants to get to his full potential, and maybe he feels like he can't do that with LeBron James. I do think if he was to go to a Minnesota, the San Antonio one is a head-scratcher. The Miami one is a real head-scratcher, so he could fist fight with Deion Waiters again. But the Knicks one makes a lot of sense, and the Minnesota one makes a lot of sense because Jimmy Butler's one of his good friends, according to the reports out there, whatever that means. But he would be the best player on that team. I mean, like, you know, maybe you could say Jimmy Butler's a better two-way player, but when it came to, you know, I mean, he comes in there with a championship pedigree, the best scorer, flat-out scorer on that team, you know. So, I mean, Kyrie's ceiling is still off the charts. He's 24 years old, and I heard somebody comparing him, and I hadn't even thought about it this way. I mean, we know how good he is in Cleveland. That's one thing. So the rest of everybody out there is talking about he's underappreciated, he's underrated. I don't know where that comes from. I always say I would take Kyrie over anybody, but he's 24 years old. You think about the other guys. Kyle Lowry's 8 years older than him. You know, Steph Curry's 2 years older than him. You know, the other point guards, everybody's got age on him. So you think about the possible ceiling he has. If he improves his defense and actually becomes anywhere close to one-tenth of a two-way player, he becomes a bona fide MVP candidate alone if his offensive game doesn't improve anymore. So I can understand what he's trying to go to. And, I mean, it's a part of me that admires it. It just sucks because he's leaving the team that I root for. So, you know, like, I understand where Cavs comes from. I don't see it as the biggest betrayal because I think this has a lot to do with LeBron James. I'm not in the camp where a lot of fans are saying, you know, LeBron holds the team hostage and he could have made this right, but this is what you get. And with the Dan Gilbert, I think the Cavs are just basically their situation has come down to what we thought. This is why we reacted that way when David Griffin was not re-signed, is that, you know, we're the Cavs franchise right now is dying 1,000 deaths by pinpricks. Now, this was a big one in the dam, but, you know, all the other ones was every little move, you know, felt like something that wasn't happening. If it was not signing Jamal Crawford and the decision to bring over Steady Osmond, like all these little things were starting to build up, and maybe this was the one that broke the straw for Kyrie Irving.
I guess if you want to have your own team and with the situation with LeBron going into next year and potentially leaving, you know, if you thought LeBron was going to leave, then why wouldn't you want to do it here? And so I guess that's my point is that, you know, maybe he just realized that LeBron may not be leaving here and most likely wouldn't be leaving here and wants to get started on his own terms. I wish he would have said this a lot earlier back when some of these big players were available. So now it's going to be a little bit harder to get the right people in here that you want for him. But again, I still say, I mean, he's under contract here for 2 years with another option for a third year. I say you play this season out and you just say, figure it out, Kyrie. And we'll readdress this next year when LeBron's a free agent. And if LeBron leaves, then there you go. You got your own team in Cleveland.
Well, one thing about that is that it wouldn't still be his own team in Cleveland. It would be that same vacuum that he walked into, and maybe that's what he's trying to avoid by trying to get out of here now, is that same vacuum he walked into as a rookie. Because it basically, you're still playing in LeBron James shadow. You can't carry the team the way LeBron did. You guys aren't as good as when LeBron was here. You still had to hear all that. So even though you're the focal point, you're still left in that shadow of LeBron James. The other point is, too, man, I don't know, like, I mean, maybe it's more when you say it when it goes to football. You always say you want guys that want to be here. I mean, if a guy doesn't want to be here, I mean, only LeBron James can make him, you know, feel like he wants to be here. If it's signing long term, if it's talking to him, having a meeting by the pool like he did with Kevin Love, I don't know what that would take and what that would mean. The other point to that is, too, this actually is helpful to the Cavs. I mean, I know it sucks the timing yet again. I mean, we know that, but they can still, I don't know what Kobe Altman is, his capability is, but we're going to find out here if they do trade Kyrie, and we'll go through some of those possibilities. The real key to it is they can actually alleviate some of the cap pressure and that things to actually make possibilities. We're getting draft picks, we're bringing in maybe younger talent and a veteran. So it's a lot of possibilities out there for the Cavs.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, and there is some of that. I don't, you know, if you don't want to be here, then don't let the door hit you in the ass. So, you know, I've got a little bit of a bitter feeling right now for Uncle Drew, and if we move on from him and can get to a position where we can be a legitimate contender this year for an NBA title, and if you got LeBron James on your team, then you already are. But with what's going on out west and the arms race in the NBA, I just don't know if you get to an NBA Finals if you'll have enough. But that's, I guess, Kobe Altman's job now to make sure that that happens.
Do you, like, agree with me that the Cavs still, with LeBron James, no matter what the team assembled around him, we think that the Cavs get out the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see who they bring back first. But when you're talking about bringing back something for Kyrie Irving, you're going to get talent. So in that regard, I would imagine whoever they trade for, Cavs are still going to have enough to get out of the East. Even with Boston adding Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, I think the thing about this, when we talk about like trading Kyrie, you got to be looking at this. A lot of people want to play chess a lot of times with these NBA trades and whatnot. This is a short-term thing that they got to try to do this year. So even when I say, like, you know, the starting to me is, you know, another top 20 point guard, kind of like this is what I've seen Bobby Marks say, a top 20 point guard, a young wing that maybe is on a rookie contract, and, you know, a draft pick is just a starting asking price. And if I'm the Cavs, that then allows me to then either flip that young rookie guard, that draft pick, for something else later closer to the trade deadline that, you know, can help the Cavs again. So I'm thinking, you know, when I say it's checkers versus chess, like we got to, like, me, you know, make two jumps right now and then maybe get King later with a trade closer to the trade deadline and come back, and then that roster is a little bit better. I don't know if you can put – I will say this, and I think you were alluding to this. There's not a championship move to be made right now, at least trade-wise or acquisition-wise. So that's what I'm saying. You kind of got to, you know, set yourself up with some assets, you know, get a couple good players. We'll go through that, like I said, here. And put yourself in a position to later maybe acquire somebody that can really help you.
No, I agree with you there, D. You know, I like that analogy of checkers and chess, where you're going to have to set up a few moves before you make your ultimate move and towards an NBA title maybe sometime during the year.
All right, let's go through the scenarios, because I think that's the most exciting thing. I mean, like, I know people are hurt. Like I said, I'm just kind of numb, because at this point, man, it's just like, after the Griffin thing, I was really hurt after the Griffin thing. There's, like, nothing that can really hurt me now as a Cavs fan. I just want to see what we can do to keep moving. We just got to keep moving. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but we just got to keep moving forward. As much stuff that goes bad, you just got to keep moving forward. And 23 says he's still practicing in the gym every morning. I think the guy's already got two workouts in from 5 a.m. And then the guy's doing three a day. So that makes me feel good. And we just got to keep trying to acquire talent. We talk about acquiring talent, man. Let's go through these trades. The one big one, the Knicks, Suns possible trade. Getting Eric Bledsoe and Carmelo Anthony. The one that I did see now, though, is that Tyson Chandler and Kyrie Irving would end up on the Knicks, and then Kevin Love and one of the Knicks players end up out in Phoenix. I mean, I don't see how the Cavs could trade Kevin Love in that transaction, but how do you feel about acquiring Melo and Eric Bledsoe or something in that combination?
I'm not a huge fan of it. I mean, I don't know. Carmelo Anthony to me doesn't do a lot, especially at this stage of his career. I feel like you got to get a little bit younger than that. And to pay the price of Drew Gooden, to pay the price of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love for those two players, I think that's a huge downgrade in talent from the two of them. You know, I heard Miami as a possible scenario. Something like that gives me a little bit more interest, where you could get a Goran Dragic and Justice Winslow, and then a first round draft pick, something like that for Kyrie. And then we're getting into the scenario you were talking about, where you're adding a top 20 point guard or a top 15, maybe even a top 10 point guard in Dragic, and Justice Winslow is a huge counter to what's going on in Golden State in my mind, and as a rookie contract, and then you have a piece that you can move as well. So that's the type of move I'm looking more for than these three-team trades where you're bringing in Carmelo Anthony and another guard.
Here's the problem. If you can get Carmelo Anthony on a buyout, I'm all for adding him to the Cavs roster. I just don't like trading for him in any scenario with the way his contract is, because it goes up more next season, and it's just that's setting the Cavs back. No matter, even taking Kyrie's contract off the book, they would probably have to get somebody else in that deal. It just, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It would just be about trying to get LeBron's buddy here to play with him. I do think they can make it work on the basketball court, but and I do think Eric Bledsoe is an upgrade. And one of the big things in this trade talks, as we go through these scenarios, is that the Cavs just got to get a point guard that's better on defense. That's not hard to say. They're not going to get the same scoring back. Of course, we know that. But the ability to get better on defense at the point guard position, it could be good enough for the triage situation the Cavs are in by trading Kyrie Irving.
You know, that's kind of what my logic was with Goran Dragic and Winslow, is, you know, get better defensively and let LeBron take over. The issue I have with that Carmelo trade, too, is, you know, what if LeBron walks? And then you're sitting there with Eric Bledsoe and Carmelo Anthony. Yeah, so, I mean, I got to keep that in mind as well as I'm trying to grow this team and get this team better.
I don't really care for I like Dragic if I'm playing DraftKings, because he puts up some numbers. But just the way he plays, and both of those guys have not shown the ability. That's what's kind of sank Miami's chances in the first half of the season. They have not shown the ability to stay healthy, even with Winslow's short career.
What do you think of a potential deal where you would send them to, like, Memphis for Mike Conley, a Jamichael Green, a first-round draft pick?
I would do that, but then that Mike Conley contract becomes an albatross. So you're almost taking on, You know what I mean? A bigger contract, even though that's a long-term contract. I'm a huge Mike Conley fan, so I would be all about that. And Jermichael Green is still a free agent right now, so that's the only thing. It depends on what kind of contract he would sign. Yeah, it would have to be a sign and trade, yeah. But the first-round pick would be huge, and that's, you know what I'm saying? They got to get a first-round pick in this transaction. I don't even care if they use it to draft somebody. I'm just saying as that asset to be able to trade, like I said, later on in the season. The one that I really wanted, that I was all excited to do this podcast about, man, I wanted them to trade Kyrie for John Wall. But John Wall went ahead and signed his contract. I think he smells the blood in the water in the Eastern Conference with the possibility of Kyrie wanting out. So the House of Guards is coming, you know. And that Celtics-Wizards matchup, if they meet again in the playoffs, should be something to see.
Is it wrong of me to want to try to trade Kyrie for spite? Like, I want to ship him to Memphis or Sacramento or Utah or some place like that and say, go have fun there, Kyrie, with your nothing list.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing that was funny when he put the list out. I literally had to double-check. I'm like, when did this guy – I know he didn't have a no-trade clause because that's why people always went and wanted to trade him for the last 3 years. But I just had to double-check hit the quick Google machine to make sure the guy didn't, get a clause in there, because there's only a few players in the NBA that have one, and LeBron James is one. So for all the people that want to trade LeBron right now and are so tired of LeBron's drama and that whole song and dance that everybody – I don't know – Where all these feelings were when you were at the parade wheeling your grandmas and your, newborn babies down there, to public, square. But nevertheless, to speak on LeBron real quick, even if he leaves and all that stuff, man, I am fine with it because we won a championship. We weren't supposed to win a championship the way that this whole span of the NBA is going right now. The Cavs got one. I just think now, like I said, it's about moving forward and making the best out of the situation that can be. I'll tell you this, there's a couple trades that I really did like that I would do in a heartbeat. I saw one that was Kemba Walker and Malik Monk and a draft pick, or I really don't want Frank Kaminsky, but that intrigues me with the Charlotte Bobcats.
I like that
You talk about shipping them out to basketball Siberia. I would take D'Angelo Russell and Caris LeVert in a combination of maybe Trevor Booker and a draft pick that they got from the LA Lakers. Via Sacramento from the Brooklyn Nets. So he can be back home close to New Jersey and play in Brooklyn. He wants to get in New York, so Brooklyn's just as close as the Knicks, and they're just as bad. But then there's a trade that I really like with the Dallas Mavericks. I would like to take Dennis Smith Jr. This would have to be a signing trade, too, because Noel's on a restricted contract. But get Dennis Smith Jr., Nerlens Noel, and a draft pick from the Mavericks. I know Cuban likes to play a splash, and then that puts Kyrie in the shadow of Dirk Nowitzki, so he's right back in a scenario that he didn't want to be.
Boy, I don't know if that Dallas is enough for Kyrie Irving, especially with Noel's injury history and just not being a guy that you can count on a lot. Then it turns into Dennis Smith and a first-round draft pick. So for me, I got to get more than that, I think.
The other big thing to be in these trades – is getting off either Shumpert or Fry's contract to create more cap space in case Carmelo does do a buyout or somebody else does a buyout. Here's the other thing we got to mention. The Cavs were in negotiation with Derrick Rose. It makes a lot more sense now. If they do execute a trade and Derrick Rose is still on the table, they can give him a little bit more money and definitely make sure they sign him. Because right now I think the deal they were trying to offer him was $2 million. Which was crazy, and then people were still poo-pooing that idea, even when Kyrie was still wanting to be on the Cavs, 48 hours ago.
Yeah, no, I think what it does is with Derrick Rose, it allows you to go out there and explore all trade possibilities without having to necessarily get a starting point guard back in the deal, which is a big key. It gives you so many more scenarios where you can get the right trade package back, I think, and buys you a little bit of time.
Another one that everybody gets so excited about, people still want Boogie Cousins and Drew Holiday as one of the trade packages out there. What do you think about that one?
From New Orleans, I'd jump at that. The opportunity to get Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving on the court together, to me, is a no-brainer, especially with the way Boogie Cousins' career has gone so far as just being a little bit of a malcontent. Holiday's a good player, again, another guy that's a little injury-prone. I wouldn't be thrilled with that deal, no.
Yeah, I worry about – Holiday's had some personal issues that were very well known. His girlfriend, former U.S. women's soccer team player, you know, had a situation where she had to have brain surgery. It caused some complications for the newborn baby, so that baby should be close to being coming up on a year by the time the season starts. But that's just a situation. I don't know. He would probably be a little miffed to have to uproot his family from New Orleans. You know what I mean? That's a hard situation to even bring somebody into a trade. So I'm not saying he wouldn't want to play in Cleveland, but I'm saying that's just a personal complication that could have some impact on how he fits in with the team and how he would accept that trade, even though he's not like he has a no-trade clause either. The Boogie Cousins thing is just I miss. If anybody saw that guy play in the Olympics, I mean, there's no question he's a great offensive player, but his defensive skills are just, you know what I'm saying, not there. They're very lacking.
Yeah, just looking at it, I mean, I don't think Philly would do anything. I think you're limited in the East in what you're going to do. We talked about Miami and Charlotte as possibilities.
Any want for Utah Jazz? Possibly Rubio, Exum, Favors, Burke, or Rodney Hood. I think all those guys could be moved. Some combination
there.
I would
do Rubio and Gobert.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, I mean, certain teams have franchise people. Like, you know, the Knicks are balking at the Porzingis thing right now. You know what I mean? So, well, we don't anymore.
Hey,
I mean, we got one
guy.
We're trading
you.
We got one guy.
You
understand, so.
What about Denver? Jamal Murray.
Yes.
And
Wilson
Chandler.
Yes.
And a first-round draft pick.
Mason Plumlee, too, who's a restricted free agent with a sign and trade. Yes, yes, yes.
There you go.
Yes.
And
I love Jamal Murray. I think Jamal Murray's a great player, great young player. Oh, I got one more trade scenario for you. All right.
Okay.
This one would send Kyrie.
Beyond the Denver one, though. You got to finish your thought on the Denver one because that's very
I actually think Denver has a lot of good players. I mean, you got Will Barton on an expiring contract there. You know, any combination of the guys, you think Jameer Nelson's still there, I would take a combination of Jamal Murray and Jameer Nelson. Whatever it would take, Kenneth Reed, which was, you know, rumored in that Paul George trade, you know, would be one of the guys that, you know, Denver has a lot of options. You mentioned Wilson Chandler. I would take any of those guys off of Denver and definitely make that trade and see how Kyrie does in the Mile High City.
Let me ask you a quick question. Do you think that Tristan is a possibility to be moving with Kyrie in a package deal with that contract?
Khloe Kardashian tweet every day? Yes, that is a possibility that I would definitely do. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. Because I think they want to try to keep the core as close to what it is right now. I think they'll still move Shump or Fry, even though I would move Tristan in a heartbeat. I would do anything to get this team better with better players at any position. And that's definitely a position where you need a guy that can almost do just be a more of an offensive threat, which is an offensive shot or even just being able to be a little bit more skilled down low.
When you brought up Kenneth Reed, that's why I kind of thought for a second, maybe that would be a spot where you could send him and get even more back from Denver.
Yeah. And then that's what has me kind of thinking too, though. You know, the Orlando Magic, you know, a guy I know you kind of like, but they signed Jonathan Simmons. You would probably get back Elfrid Payton, which I know that's not a, you know, anything equal, but the whole package might be equal enough because I would take Elfrid Payton, a draft pick, Jonathan Simmons or Terrence Ross and Bismarck Biyombo, which then gives you that defensive presence that the Cavs need so desperately.
Yeah, I still think that's a little bit of undervalue for Kyrie, but you know, it's a situation. Plus you could package Channing Frye with them and send them back to Orlando.
Yeah. I'm still talking like all these deals. When I mention them, I'm still thinking a draft pick and first round draft pick too. Maybe not
right.
Lottery guaranteed, but definitely a first round draft pick. Yeah. So that's some of the scenarios out there. I'm trying to think of anybody else if I'm leaving out some of the wild outlandish ones.
Markelle Fultz.
I'm not a big Fultz guy, as you know, when we talked about the, you know, a couple of draft shows we did. I'm not big on Fultz, but, you know, you take him because of the upside because maybe you can move him after, you know, the first half of the season. Anything that the Cavs can get right now that has potential, younger, whatever the Cavs do, long as they get draft picks in that combination some way of what we kind of talked about with all these guys, I'm fine with it, even if they get Boogie Cousins, because I think Boogie Cousins still is attractive at the trade deadline if it's not working out. You know, so some team will still want to build around him. So, you know, the Cavskins, it's not just about the first move. It's about, you know, two or three moves later.
I hear you. That's that was a great point that we made earlier on, or that you made earlier on, with the, you know, it might not be the final move when you do move Kyrie towards what you're going to end up with at the end of the year, going for an NBA title. Of the trades that we had talked about, I think the one that interests me the most is the Charlotte trade, where you're bringing in a guy like Monk, who's explosive and could be a great NBA player, an all-star player. And Kemba Walker isn't a huge, huge downgrade from what Kyrie Irving brings you. A little bit different, but and not quite as skilled, but still a guy that competes and a guy that's, you know, a top 10 point guard in this league.
I will say this. The Cavs Summer League got ended by the Lonzo Ball hype train. There's not a lot there from that Summer League team, if anything at all. The one guy that I did have some hope for got signed by the Spurs right before the game against the Lakers, which was Brandon Paul, the former Illinois product. Kay Felder's not ready. I don't think he ever will be ready. Eddie Tavares shows great athleticism on the defensive end, but for some reason he gets on the offensive end and has zero athleticism. So that's still a project, you know, work in motion. Maybe we see some minutes for him. In some, you know, blowout games a la, you know, the Victory Cigar, Joe Harris. There's not a lot there from that Summer League team, not unless they pick up somebody from somebody else's team. But that's another thing that this Kyrie Irving trade might do. It might allow them to open up some roster spots to take a chance on some, you know, G League guys that, you know, we talked about Jonathan Simmons down there in Orlando. That they've got to find that next G League guy along with, you know, getting a successful trade for Kyrie. The Cavs have to exhaust every option and actually almost hit a home run with each one. Just hoping that they can do that. I mean, that's all we got right now. You got to ride with the situation. Maybe I'll give you guys till, you know, Cavs fans till Tuesday or something like that. But, you know, you can't not lament over this Kyrie thing and let it burn you up, man. You got to keep moving on with the Cavs, man. It's just there's too much left of this season and the possibilities. Even though it's slight and it's not the same way that it was before, but there's still too much left for us to enjoy with this Cavs team.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the daunting task in front of Kobe Altman is, you know, trying to pull this trade off with both thinking of going for a championship this year and also, you know, how do you move on if LeBron were to leave at the end of the year? So you want to get back some guys that can help you right now, but you don't want to get back guys that if LeBron were to leave, that you're stuck for the next 5 years in a total rebuild.
I mean, if that's the case, that's the case, though, like to me. I mean, we won a championship. We knew the slogan literally was all in. We knew we were going all in for a championship, and that's what it's like. I think people forget, and I mean, I had this conversation with, you know, so shout out BG and Keith Wilson, who was actually on a podcast to help us with that draft preview from the Lakers' perspective, and my one good friend Ace Boogie, but I was talking to them about it, and you know, it was kind of a little bit of a debate, you know, but people forget how the Cavs weren't favored in any of these finals, especially the one, even though the Cavs were finally healthy going into it, the Golden State Warriors had won 73 games. So, you know, we did, because we're hardcore Cavs fans and it's with an Ohio bias, of course, we thought the Cavs would win a championship. But I'm saying when it came to the consensus of everybody else out there, you know, the Cavs were underdogs. They got a championship and it still should be something that we hold our heads high about.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said earlier, if LeBron were to leave, that you couldn't blame him after bringing the championship here. And I think, you know, I think there was some of that being set up here with the way Dan has been portrayed, and rightly so, with what he's done with the front office. And now, you know, you just wonder how much Kevin Griffin or David Griffin was able to play moderator between not only Dan and LeBron, but LeBron and Kyrie and bringing in the right mix. I just feel like you really, really upset the apple cart by, you spent all this money to get to this point, and then you're not going to spend a little bit more money to keep the guy there that's keeping it all together.
Yeah, and I kind of mentioned Vince's article. He was saying how LeBron was wrong for the way he acts and all the things he's done over the years. This is not the time to be asking who's right or who's wrong, in my opinion. You know, like, I mean, nobody's right. You know, this team should be a dynasty franchise that we shouldn't even be worried about this right now. You know, like, but that's not the case. You know, Dan Gilbert, you know, is culpable in what he did. I mean, Kyrie's a little culpable and LeBron James is a little culpable. But, you know, like I said, it's about moving forward, how you get this team ready for October and to come into training camp and be ready to compete again. And if they're in the finals, you know, it's winning four games again somehow, some way with whatever roster is assembled. And that's what's the real thing to me. And that's where I think Cavs fans need to be focusing their energy. I know it's easy to get frustrated and get upset and, you know, call sports talk and go in, but I think we got to be a better fan base. And remember, we are champions.
Absolutely. And, you know, you make your run here and who knows what happens with 2018-19. That's a bit away, but it is kind of interesting that the most likely player to be on that roster next year or that year will probably be Kevin Love.
Yeah, well, I mean, Kevin Love, I mean, finally gets to do a little sub-tweeting of his own. You know, you probably saw that. He got to use the old Kyrie peculiar word in there and said, you know, he's doing well in his offseason. So I thought that Kevin Love finally has a moment. You know what I mean? So good for him. Real quick, I want to throw some odds at you for the Kyrie trade. So from BetDSI.com, the Knicks are plus 350. The Spurs are plus 400. The Heat are plus 550. The T-Wolves are plus 700. Not traded at all. It's plus 1,000. And the field is plus 200. Where are you putting your money at, Jake?
I'm going to put my money on my money or my heart. You know, I put my heart on not being traded at all. If I had to put my head somewhere, I don't see San Antonio being able to pull it off with just San Antonio. There's not enough to give back unless you're willing to part with Kawhi, which they're not. The Knicks make the most sense because of the love affair between Carmelo and LeBron and the assets that they have with draft picks and young players. So if I got to use my head, I'm going to say the Bricks, I think.
The problem with the Bricks, I don't want Frank Nitti, that guy they drafted from France that nobody knows what he can do on a basketball court besides dribble. So, yeah, I mean, like, I'll take Courtney Lee, some other guys, but I don't want that guy. Not unless you're taking him just to move him to another team, which I don't even think anybody else wanted him at that spot. But definitely, hey, listen, Cavs fans, it's not good times right now, but I don't understand the perspective of a Cleveland sports fan right now. Maybe you're a little spoiled. I mean, I know it hurts, but we have been in worse spots, ladies and gentlemen. So once again, I mean, I say this and I know I'm probably the last person you expected to get on this podcast and actually find some positivity in this chaotic situation, but and this bad news. But like I said, man, if the Cavs can free up some space and do some things and get some draft picks, they might actually come out on the better end. It might not feel like it on the short end. But then Kyrie Irving, man, I don't disparage him at all. I think his ceiling is high. I think he still can be an MVP candidate, even make an All-NBA team. But he might learn the grass isn't greener, and that might be something he regrets later on in his career.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And, you know, you got a pretty good situation right now where people are trying to sign with other big star players to win championships. It looks like Kyrie's going the other way.
So we want to thank you for listening. You know, you can always find this at withanohiobias.com. You can search in the iTunes store with an Ohio Bias, also on the Stitcher app and on Google Play. Please give us a like on Facebook, and you can always follow at with an Ohio Bias on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Just want to thank you for listening. As always, go Cavs. Keep the faith, Cavs fans, and don't burn your Kyrie jerseys. Just try to sell them as soon as possible. As always, go Cavs. Defend the land. We'll talk at you next time.